Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. What would you have to let go of? What would you have to give up, surrender, lose interest in for the karma not to be maintained? The obvious answer is ego, but what aspect of ego? Record and listen to what you see. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Anna from San Carlos.
Hello, Anna.
Hi, Sherry.
What's new?
What's new with practice? What's new is I'm waiting for the baby to come. But
all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Still waiting. All right.
I thought it was going to be yesterday, but it's not. So that's what's really new. And also with practice, I guess I could talk to the assignment too. But it's really kind of related because I guess it's what's up with me. So that's the thing I'm looking at is there's like what I was noticing is there's like a sense of control or like a sense that there's something that I can do to get things to go the way I think that I think they should go for me to have the right experience or something. And it's the same thing. It's always, I guess, until I sort of transcend this karma, it's going to be the same thing. But it it's sort of like this underlying belief that like something bad could happen, you know?
And then
if I play my cards right, then some way I can like get things to go the way I want them to go. You know, and it's so interesting that this is what's going on underneath because the content I chose was around exercise. So for me, I've always been a person who exercises. So that's, it's not like getting my, you know, but there's like this kind of process of how it happens that I really wanted to look at, like what it means about me if I do or I don't, or like the fear tactics ego uses to get me to control me around that content. And so from a process perspective, it is like this really like deep sense of that there's something I can do, you know, that I need to do something to control the situation or else something bad's going to happen
And Anna, is the corollary with that, if something bad happens, well, it's your fault because you didn't do something to control it.
Yeah, it's like the fuel, the hypervigilance, and like the thinking about what would be the exact right thing to do. That's kind of the process it fuels,
And it's such a setup, isn't it? Because once we're talked into believing, well, first of all, we can see, I imagine you're very aware of the level of tension in your body, in your being, as you attempt to control every moment of life. I would project that you're speaking for about 99.44% of those of us on this call. There may be somebody who doesn't have this experience, but probably not. So there's that tension that's there, that hypervigilance, as you say, that's always there. And then the setup, because the whole thing is based in something wrong.
Yeah.
Right? And so once we believe that there's something wrong, that life is about right and wrong, and that we have the potential to control it, so only what happens is what we want to have. I mean, the whole thing is just, you can see that highway to suffering just opening up wider and wider with every belief.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of pressure, and I think it just, the other thing I was looking at from like, you know, like a physical standpoint of exercise is I'm a person that just loves physical things. And so it's when I'm in that place, it just completely robs that experience of me because I'm stuck in the head in this place of hypervigilance and fear and anxiety, just like you're describing. So
yeah.
It's like,
which, you know, if exercise is going to do anything good for us, it probably can't do enough good to compensate for what we're allowing to be done to our body, to our being, with that kind of karmic programming.
Yeah.
You know, how are we going to exercise well enough to get past the toll that that level of anxiety is taking.
Yeah, it's interesting because I used to do this thing where I would like kind of over exercise in a way, you know, like it's like you take this thing and then it would just like, because it's like I never really actually got to exercise, you know, because it was, you know, there was like this really wanting to feel that like, you know, embodiment thing and just not ever really getting that, you know, just trying to get that.
Right, because you're exercising from your head. Right?
Yeah.
So the exercise is happening in the head. It's like, could I just get into my body? Could I just be in my body and enjoy my body doing what the body does really well? And no, because you have to stay in your head. And again, to me, the tragedy of it is the setup that when life goes the way life goes, it's going to be your fault. It's my fault, our fault. It's because we did something wrong that this thing happened. And it's just so cruel because it's not true. It's just not true.
Yeah, and the, you know, the implications of that, that sense of control is just like, you know, it's everywhere. And as I'm like,
every moment.
And it's really up right now because I'm sitting in this place of like, will the baby come today, tomorrow, next week, you know, last week?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's been really helpful to be looking at this content while I'm also like living this other content because it's the same process in a way.
It's the same process. Right. And
but
now
like
exercise
more
is,
obvious
can I get out of,
I can't control it.
Yeah, yeah. Can I get out of the chair and walk across the room? All right.
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah.
Got out of the chair.
Know, it's like doing what's appropriate to what's going on right now. And living
and
in a moment where there's really nothing I can do to control it. I feel like with exercise, sometimes there is some support that, you know, like from the medical standpoint or, you know, from like, there's just so much social support for being, that means I'm a good person if I do it or like, I'm going to prevent health things if I do it or, you know, there's just like a lot of support for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's,
crapola
it's helpful.
Abounds.
Yeah. It's yeah. So it's, I don't know, it's really helpful to be able to look at it from this perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll keep us posted, right? You'll let us know when the big event happens.
Yes, I will. Yes, we're really excited. We'll wait.
Oh,
but,
I bet.
Knowing we have no control.
No control. Absolutely none.
It's such a
and it's
great,
so important
great
to get
practice
that.
Opportunity.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Anna.
Thanks, Sherry.
Take good care. Bye.
You too. Bye. Bye, Ashwini. Bye, Sherry.
Bye, Anna. Wow, Sherry, I think this is going to be a really exciting call because I think as we listen to everyone, we get to see those aspects of ego that are so entrenched, that sense of being the architect of the universe that can control all outcomes because we so inherently believe that there is a way in which life has to go.
Yes.
It's that place of, you point to, because the greatest gift that we can offer is the knowledge or the knowing that there is nothing wrong. Because if you come from that orientation that everything in life is just how it is, then that place of needing, we've just bypassed the ego that wants to control everything.
Yes. Yeah. And when we step back and look at it, it's so obvious that we have no control. It's so obvious, and yet the belief is deep enough that almost everybody is living in that tension and anxiety, that desire to control. And of course, as we point out endlessly, all that's happening is that ego is controlling us. That's not giving us any control over life because no such thing exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is usually in the matter of life and death that we confront that lack of control, as Anna was so accurately pointing out. The baby's going to come when the baby's going to come, right? And we're going to die when we're going to die. It's in those very fundamental places that we're brought home to that fact. And in the so many different ways in which life isn't going the way we want it to go.
Yeah, Yeah, which we could relax into while there is nothing going on.
Right? Yes, exactly. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
God. Oh, no. Was that
no,
a...
No, I'm here.
Was that a... Oh, no. I'm unmuted. Oh, God. No,
no, no, no. I didn't know. I didn't say that. I'm happy I'm unmuted. This is Phil from San Carlos, actually.
Hello, Phil.
Hi. What I was saying right when the lady said you're now unmuted is, let's see, what was I saying? Speaking of no control, I mean, you never know when you're going to get unmuted is what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, well,
so,
it's a perfect example.
It's a perfect example. Yeah, it really is. And I'm just so grateful for that we're doing this again this year, and this is the first time since in this year I've been on the call, and so I just want to express that gratitude and how happy I am to be here. And it's just
and speaking
so
speaking of which, Phil, for anybody who missed this intel, the happy to be here, go happy T-shirts are in the process of being ordered. So anybody who hasn't ordered theirs wants to go to keepitsimple.org and do so.
Get it right away. Yes, it's beautiful.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. And this whole class up to this point in this whole retreat is just, it's just brilliant how it keeps having us just keep looking, you know, and it really is. And this assignment was great, following the other assignments as well. And what I would have to give up and surrender to lose interest in karma would be basically the same as we're talking about, to give up the control of being the good, right person and being afraid of doing things wrong and, you know, what people will think or comparing. It's all those things that I think it feels like that is what tries to keep us in that, me and him, in that realm of being in control. Just thinking it, you know, brings the illusion on.
Yes, yes. That moment by moment, you can make the right choice, and that right choice will make you the right person. And that, the control, that being the right person means bad things won't happen. Nothing wrong will happen, which, again, there is endless evidence that that is just hokum.
It is. It is.
Really good people die every day.
Right. Right. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, yeah. And it's, you know, and I took something very kind of what would look like maybe small as the focus, which is, particularly starting with making sure I stop what I'm doing at a certain time in order to get to bed at a certain time, or, you know, around in a good time, so that, okay. But what I saw, of course, and I knew this part, that it's that put things everywhere. You know, just one more minute. I'll just to finish this. I'll just, let me just, you know, and, of course, that keeps me from getting out the door, keeps me from... doing a lot of things in, you know,
and it's
just so fun
you.
To see it. Yes,
yeah,
it is. That's
it's not you
see, so clearly.
Yeah, it's not you having control. It's you being controlled.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
Oh, just do that
one more thing.
Oh, just take care of that. Just that. Yeah. So that the main point is, you don't get to do what you choose. You get what you're controlled to do.
Exactly. And the its ego's benefit from that is it gets to have me in an adrenaline rush, you know, a lot of the time. And it's like a game. It's like a game of chance, you know, okay, will I make it, won't I make it, you know. So now I'm rushing to get to bed, or I'm rushing to get out the door, or, you know. And I see that, and it's, you know, and that has been so, and I've seen that for a long time, and but it's been with this retreat that I'm actually
ready to let it go.
Well, yeah, being able to, I mean, I keep trying, you know, trying, and that's the right word at this point. But this now, it's like seeing the willingness to, okay, just one more minute. Oh, I got you. I heard that one. And knowing that that's the signal to, and it is like quicksand because it's been such a habit, you know.
Well, what occurs to me is, because you spend a lot of time at the monastery, okay? And you know, when you're working in the kitchen, the kitchen person has a little bell.
Right.
And the little bell rings, and everybody just puts down whatever they're doing and leaves because that's over. Right? We have the big bell at the monastery, but the little kitchen bell is such a
right,
good one, right?
Right.
And so you might avail yourself of a little bell. And when it's time, you know, it's whatever time you decide it's time to quit and go to bed, you have a little ding on your phone that tells you it's that time, and then you pick up the little bell and you ring yourself out.
Yeah, sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Let me know how that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks so much.
You are so welcome. Okay, good.
All right,
thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Phil. You know, what I was sharing in that suggestion, Sherry, is we really need to look at and recognize what we need to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And once we get clear about that, to do exactly what you were saying, which is in that realization, how do we train ourselves to the change in the behavior? And doing something that physical, like ringing ourselves out, because we've already trained in that in some other domain, so the training is going to hold in this domain, right?
Yes.
At the monastery, you hear that bell, you drop everything, and you walk out. We've been trained to do that.
Yes.
And so we can bring that same training to a different situation in which ego is controlling us.
Yes. And that, of course, that training of the bell at the monastery is for exactly this. Right? That's because life is metaphorically ringing the bell constantly. And and we let ego just override that with, oh, just this one more thing, or I can finish that before I go, or I'll need to, right? And so if we are training ourselves to listen for that bell of life, that still small voice guiding us, and we drop everything to go with it, now our life is starting to be a very different proposition.
Exactly. And the thing that I was seeing there too, right, Sherry, is that the ultimate belief that we're letting go is we have control over life or death.
Yes.
Right? That's the meaning of the bell, which is when the last breath happens, you don't have the luxury of doing one more thing.
That's
and
right.
somehow or the other, that behavior of listening to the bell at the monastery puts us in touch with the reality and the truth that we don't have any control over our last breath. And that insight is what provides the energy in other circumstances. Because in those situations, we're not in touch with the fact that when the bell rings finally, we're not going to do one more email before we go.
That's right. We're training ourselves to drop everything and follow life's guidance.
Yes, including the final exit.
The final one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from San Diego.
Hello, Laura.
Laura. Oh, being controlled, huh? That's familiar.
Right. Yeah.
The theme of in another retreat, you know, reading Epictetus and the word freedom, right? And that realizing, like, with a really, like, cold splash in the face, good wake-up call that I'm not living in freedom. And so what I'm seeing with this retreat is that I'm doing the same thing that I do with pretty much everything else, is that really good intentions. I've got the book. I've got the assignments. It's not getting prioritized on a, it just falls to the background. And then I get beat up about it. Then I feel guilty about it. And then I don't get to look and see, like, I'm in the process of self-hate versus the process of practicing awareness.
Yes. Yes. And you're seeing how that is controlling you, right? You're seeing how you're being controlled. Right, that's the big one, right? Because what everybody is conditioned to believe by that same process is you need to learn one more thing, you need to make this different change, you need to there's something that you need to do that's out there that you need to get or have or discover or whatever it is that's going to make you different. And, of course, it never will. Because what we need to do to be different is stop believing and following the, in quotes, guidance of that system that is controlling us.
Yes, and can you help me make this connection? Because there's this, I've talked about it a couple of places, but So I'm watching this process with something new in my home where I'm squeegeeing my shower. And, Sherry, I'm doing it every single day. And so it seems really silly in the conditioned mind.
No.
Like, what are you talking about? But what I watched this morning was I actually counted how long did it take me to squeegee. Because there are days when I'm like, oh, not today, tomorrow. And I'm like, no. And it's this interesting process where I'm seeing, like, how come I'm doing it here? But not in these other places. Like, the shower is like it's just such a teaching place for me.
Okay, may I? May I?
Yes.
So Anna started us off, and I can't remember if we actually got to this place, but one of the things that happens to us when we're exercising is a voice that says, oh, you really ought to do this more. You know, why didn't you do this more? This is so great, right? And so it's got me talking about what I'm doing instead of doing what I'm doing. And that's what you're seeing. It's got you talking to yourself about why you can't apply the squeegee learning to everything else in your life. But that's taking everything else in your life and turning it into this monumental thing that is far bigger than you can possibly give your attention to. That's how you're controlled. So you want to apply the squeegee teaching to every moment, not to some global thing called my life.
Oh, thank you for that. Okay.
So that's one of the ways it cons us. So I'm doing this one simple little task in the moment, which the doing of is transforming my life. And what I can be learning in that is I need to be attending to life so that I am doing the one thing in each moment that is the thing for me to be doing in this moment. In this moment, it's squeegeeing the shower. In the next moment, it's going to be something else. And if I'm in touch with life and present, I will know what that thing is. I'll watch a voice come in that says, oh, no, not now. You can do that later. Right now, why don't you? And I'll realize, aha, that's the bamboozle.
Okay. Yeah, that's very concrete. Yep.
Cool. Yeah. And so, Laura, instead of letting it go all global on you, come up with one more thing. Like the squeegee. Write one more thing that you want to have in your life every day, and let the intelligence animating you support you in making that happen. When it says, blah, 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 you go, oh, right, and you do it.
Okay.
All right. Let me know.
I'm on it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks, Laura. I think there was a newsletter article from somebody which was talking about the small acts of love, how conditioning always wants to make it abstract and universal, and all of our intentions can be really, really tiny.
Yes. Yes. Love this thing that's
but for 2 minutes, not 30 minutes. You know?
Yes.
Get up and stretch for a minute. That it's like, I got to do yoga and I have to find out how to fit that yoga into my schedule. And we get so hung up on the scheduling aspect of it. It'll take me 2 minutes to get up and do a down dog in this moment, and it's going to make such a difference, because what it has accomplished is gotten me out of the relationship with ego. And if on a moment-by-moment basis I can do that, my life is going to be transformed.
Yeah. In the how of it, right? In the process.
In the how of it.
Not in the content. Yes. Not being fooled into, but I need to do an hour of yoga every day for it to count. No. No.
Yeah.
I need to get into process. As you stand up, do a down dog. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right. I think we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
I knew this would happen. It's Marianne in Canada.
Hello, Marianne.
Hello. I just took a bite of olive, so. This has been a very helpful conversation because I've been, I know I'm in the bamboozle net because I get confused. And I'm thrashing around going, I don't know, is it the ego that's directing me or not? So my
and so you know the answer to that, right? The answer is yes. I'm confused. Is it ego or yes? It's ego. Okay.
So my focus for the month of self-care is to support myself as I learn to live in my left leg. I had an accident and somehow I moved to the right side of my body and to protect my leg, and it's really messed me up. So, but moving back into the left leg is not easy. And the left leg is very weak and it doesn't want to support me. So I have to be very careful and mindful, and I have all these minute exercises to adjust. And
once again, if that becomes global, it is completely overwhelming, right? Because your left leg has to go from where it is now, and not to mention the right side of the right leg, right? So your left leg has to go where ego envisions it being, probably the leg of a 20-year-old, now, right?
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
And so that's impossible. You can't do it. And so it's hard. Oh, God. It's so hard. But what if you suddenly fell wildly in love with your left leg?
Well,
would it be hard to spend time together? Would it be onerous to need to attend? No. It would be joyful. It would be fascinating. You'd love it.
Well, I undulate out of moments of love and frustration. And
well, may I? Right there.
Yeah.
What you're doing is going back and forth between presence and ego.
Yes.
If we put any other label on it, it seems like that's all happening in one reality, and it's not. That undulation is between being present with your body and being in your head.
Yes.
Your head being ego, which thinks it can operate without a body. Or would like you to believe that you can operate without a body.
Or that I can operate with a body that, in my mind, I can be doing all sorts of things. I could be traveling, but the reality is that I can walk a couple of blocks, and that's it. My being present in my left leg, which is what I have to do. So
that's right. That's right. That, and if I may, it's what you get to do. Because you're not going to ever travel anywhere that is more important, more beautiful, more wonderful for you than being present, being here. You're not going anywhere better than here. And so if your left leg is helping you be here, you do your best to kiss that left leg. Blow it a kiss, okay? Because it is your friend, and it is helping you to have the life that's possible for you to have.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. You know, this is such a great workshop because, it's not just my left leg. It's my whole body has to readjust.
Yes.
And it's readjusting so that I can be in center.
That's right. And your body can do that. It's your head that's the problem. Right? Not just yours, of course. It's true. Again, it's true for all of us. Right? The body is fine. The body is happy. The body is always in the present. Our opportunity is to get present with the body. We need to come to the body instead of trying to get the body to come to the head.
Yes. Oh, right. You are so wise. Thank you so
Have
much.
Have fun.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
okay,
Ashwini.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ashwini? Ashwini.
I was echoing Marianne and doing a deep gassho for your wisdom.
Very good, very good.
All right, so here's our assignment for today. The karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so, rather than what is so. I'm going to read that again, Jerry, because it's so important for us to get. The karmic conversation holds the answer. However, the way the conversation is framed causes us to go to what is not so, rather than what is so. For example, I have to be responsible. The implication is that I must be responsible to X, which precludes everything else. When I stop and consider being responsible, I get to explore what I truly want to be responsible for and to. I want to be responsible to life through taking responsibility for a human being. I can do the work I'm called to do and take care of the body. Your assignment. What is the answer that is revealed to you by the karmic conversation? Record and listen to what you see.
Very fun and exciting, huh?
Yes. Yes, I had a thought, but how about we share it tomorrow?
Okay. You can tell me later.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy.